lion's den. The king hoped Daniel would make it out again. Next morning he heard Daniel give a shout. God delivered me, an angel came and shut the lion's mouth. O king, live forever. Don't have faith in that crown on your head. O king, live forever. Trust King Jesus, the true king instead.
The king called those who threw old Daniel in, said Daniel is not guilty of one sin. But as for you, you great big bunch of sinners, for your lion, it's the lion's, now you'll be the lion's dinner. O king, live forever. Don't have faith in that crown on your head. O king, live forever. Trust in Jesus, the true king instead.
One more time.
O king, live forever.
Don't have faith
in that crown.
I'd like to welcome everybody this morning. We appreciate the good crowd and everybody making an effort to be here and our children singing. We're just thankful for the morning and we're sitting there thinking it's easy to get caught up in the natural things and get aggravated with this life. But if we sit back and look at how the Lord's blessed us, especially if you're saved and know where you're going, that's all that matters in this life. Again, probably most of us are more naturally focused most of the time, and it's easy to get down. But if we just focus on what the Lord's done for us and how we're truly blessed in this life, it's a great life. But we just pray that everybody do everything the Lord asked of us this morning, and we can have a service that He has in store for us. And my brother Josh just missed Sunday school.
Good morning, everybody. We definitely desire your prayers this morning. Last week, I had two chapters to get through, and this week I got five little verses. Sitting there just a minute ago while Ryan was opening up, and I was feeling kind of nervous and apprehensive about getting up here, because this is a really beautiful lesson, but it's real short. And I was sitting there kind of being afraid, and the thought came over me that God said, "Fear not, for I am with you." Even when we're doing God's work, if we just let Him have the reins and let Him do what He wants to do, we've got nothing to fear. So, however long or short I am today, we'll leave that up to God and hope that His blessings are in it and that'll make it worthwhile. But we're in the 100th Psalm, and I could just about turn this paper over and use my notes from last week to just go over that all again, because it's just about the same thing. That was my first thought when I started reading it last weekend. And then I got to thinking, it can't be the exact same thing or it wouldn't be in there twice. God don't work like that. So I got to reading it and I got to studying on it and doing some background research. And the title of this is A Song of Thanksgiving. And the reason for that, I guess, is the Jews claim that this psalm was written to go along with their thank offerings that they were required to do. Verse 1 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." All ye lands, that includes every one of us. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. This whole chapter is about praising God. This chapter, the writer is calling all of us to praise God and to be joyous about it. And it tells us why we need to give praise to God. Verse 2 says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." You know, when I was a kid growing up, Mom and Dad made me come to church every time the church was open. And there was times, even after I got saved, that I wasn't where I ought to be, and I didn't want to come to church. But they made me come to church anyhow. And I didn't come in the back of the church house with joy. I come in and didn't want to be there and didn't want to be joyous about it. And I didn't enjoy myself the way I should have. I'd say probably all of us has been in that position. But it says, "Come before His presence with singing." And if we get our hearts right before we come into His presence, we're going to be a whole lot better off. Instead of waiting until we get in here and then try to get ourselves straightened out. If I don't have my heart right during the week while I'm running back and forth to work and doing yard work and doing whatever I'm doing in my normal daily life, I'm not going to come in here on Sunday morning and get my heart right all of a sudden. I've got to come to the Lord, happy to be coming to the Lord, because I've looked forward to it all week. And that's what this verse is telling us. Verse 3 says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture." I don't understand the evolutionary theory of the world today, thinking that we evolved from something else and all that. Even if I didn't believe that there was a creator that created all of this, it would be real hard for me to look at just a human body as one particular thing and the perfection with which it works and think that was an accident. Something else turned into this just on a whim. I don't know how people believe that. God created everything that there is, and he did it in such a way that if you go out there and look around, everything that happens, happens for a reason. Every animal in existence is there so that some other animal can exist. Every plant ties in with every other living being. It all ties together in such a way that there's no possibility of it all happening by accident. There was a grand creation and a design. And I've read a lot here lately about a lot of scientists are starting to come to that conclusion that this all is too perfect. It had to be planned by somebody of a higher power. Well, it says right there, it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We've got people, and I suppose there probably always has been people in this world that want to take too much credit for what their life is and what their world has become. But we have no credit to take. If it wasn't for God moving in my life, I wouldn't have anything. Even when it comes to the natural things of this life, if God didn't give it to me, I wouldn't have it. It says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. A couple weeks ago when Blaine was teaching, he was teaching about the green pastures. And over there in Jerusalem, I believe it was Linda said that if you see a rock with some green around the outside of the rock, that's what they call a green pasture. The rest of it's rocky and rough and dry. But the thing that I thought about with that was whether they get up real early in the morning and they go out alone and walk around, I don't know how they do it, but somehow the good shepherds, the ones that wanted to really put an effort into taking care of their sheep, knew where to find those green pastures. They didn't have to go ask, and they didn't have to walk them sheep around through the desert all day long looking for a little shoot of grass. When they left the barn, they already knew where they were going. I don't know how they do that unless they put a lot of extra work in that was behind the scenes that I don't know about. But anyways, I got a note wrote down here, and I had a thought this morning that kind of goes along with it. We can read in the Bible that God gets joy from his creation doing what he intended it to do. Whether it's the birds chirping in the trees or monkeys howling out in the jungle or lions roaring, whatever it might be, if those things are doing what God designed them to do, he gets joy out of it. And what God designed us to do is serve him. And if we do that with our whole heart, he'll get joy out of it. That's where a joyful noise to the Lord comes from. And I had a thought on the way here this morning. I told my wife, I said, the Bible says that God is in me and I'm in him. And if I've got a part of God down on the inside here, and I move and maybe say or do something, and God gives me a blessing, that God part is where I get that blessing. So did I just make a joyful noise unto the Lord? It's one way to look at it. Not saying I can bless myself by any means. But if I make a joyful noise unto the Lord, I believe the Lord will bless us in that. Verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Back in Hebrews 10, chapter 10, verse 25, says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We're supposed to help each other. We're supposed to be a support system. I can't imagine living my life day to day with no other Christians around me, with nobody to call and talk to when I have problems. And if I did, I can't imagine coming to church on Sunday morning and having any desire to come in here, at least not happily. The fact that I've got this support group and I can call on any of you guys any time of the day or night, and somebody will be awake enough and free enough to help me out. And even if it's just a conversation to lift me up, help me out with that. A lot of that is the reason why I enjoy coming to church. And I don't want to give anybody the wrong impression. It's not the church that I'm trying to satisfy or please. It's God. But God's people work together in such a way that it makes it a joy to come together with one another. If we didn't work together the way we do, it wouldn't be such a joy to come together. It would still be a joy to serve the Lord, I believe. I don't know, because I've always been part of a church that worked together and shared God's love and shared his support. But exhort, I looked up that word exhort, because in that Hebrews it said, but exhorting one another. And the word exhort means to strongly encourage or urge someone to do something. We need to be backing each other up and exhorting one another to be here and to help one another and to serve God the way he wants us to. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter into his courts with praise. When we get here, we ought to be ready to just praise God. There should be no other reason for us to come together other than to praise God with each other. It says, be thankful unto him and bless his name. If I didn't have anything else to do in this world, I would want to thank God for everything he's done for me. I've heard a lot of stories about, you know, people being on their deathbed and praising God for being so good to them. I can't imagine that. But I hope that when it's my time to go, I'll have that same spirit in me, that I can lay on my deathbed and leave that message for my generations to come, that even in death, I was praising God. That's where I want to go. That's the way I want to go. And verse 5 says, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. I read the verse last week from Revelations 22 and 13. It says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. God was good to Adam. Even after Adam sinned, God gave him clothes. He didn't just kick him out of the garden naked. He took care of him first and then sent him on his way. Even in the beginning, God was good. And in the end, God is still going to be good. And everything done from first to last is written about in this book, and it's all good. And his mercy is everlasting. You can kind of look at that two ways. It never dawned on me before till just now, but you can kind of look on that two ways. His mercy is everlasting. As long as this earth stands, his mercy will still be going out and saving people. And as long as my soul lives, which is eternal, I'll still be in his mercy. When the last one gets saved, that's when the end of this world's coming. But as long as this world stands, his mercy will still be going out. Anybody got any comments or thoughts?
Circumstance this body's in. We all know this thing's deteriorating. We're getting old, and one of these days, if time stands, we're gonna die.
Mm-hmm.
But it's joy unspeakable, full of glory. You've got the Lord then in your soul. Of course, you're going to heaven. Me and Angie were sitting in the car listening to Tracy sing on a recording. God holds me in the palm of his hand. And I told her, I said, there's some people say you can't record the spirit, but it's on that one. And I said, we ought to be ready now. Let's go in. And so it's nothing no greater than being saved by the grace of God and being close enough to God to feel his spirit and know how good he is to you. He's blessed me all the days of my life, and the blessings are just getting better all the time because I'm looking to where I'm going to a little closer every day. And nothing no greater than being a child of God.
Right. Anybody else got something?
sometimes we wait till we get to the house of the Lord sometimes, you know, to remember all his blessings and things. I've caught myself doing that a few times. But we ought to already have that in our heart, like we said about listening to the song. When we get here, we should be ready, not have to come to the house of the Lord to get ready. You
know? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, if we get in tune with God all week long, it's easy to get tuned up before we even walk in the back door. Anybody else got any comments? We can make a joyful noise. And I like what Linda said about the deaf mute people, because if I'm at work or driving down the road or wherever I might be and God puts it on my heart to say a little prayer about something, I don't have to make a sound. God can hear what's in my heart. And it's a joyful noise unto him if I do it right. If I do it the way he puts it on my heart as an impression, it's still a joyful noise for him, because I'm doing what he asked me to do. As a parent, sometimes I get a little bit torn between the things that I want done and the things the kids want done, how they want to do things, you know. And a lot of times there will be something probably don't really need done, but I just ask them to do it anyway just to see what their response is. And if they just go ahead and do it without any questions, it tickles me to death. So imagine how God feels when he puts something on our heart and we just go ahead and do it. No hesitation, no questions. I know myself personally, it's just about every time God's ever put anything on my heart, I sit on my chair and argue with him for a little while first and try to make a deal. But if we just try to do what God wants us to do, that's a joyful noise to unto the Lord.
Right.
Yep, never got a blessing when I wasn't where I ought to be. Nobody else has got anything. I know that was kind of short, but that's all I got. So we'll say thank you for your prayers.